Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
2 minutes after 1 a.m. here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Noogie. It is After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call a big night at Citi Field. And I can confirm from industry sources. Well, I can confirm from Evan because he was at the game and he sent me a picture. They are continuing to film the Emma Stone movie, The Catch, at Citi Field. And they got a great night of film because the Mets put up a gazillion runs. Now, I did a little digging, a little research on this movie. And from what I gather, Emma Stone is going to pull a Steve Bartman. And she is going to do something, I think, to cost the Mets, perhaps from winning a championship or something like that. And then everybody in the world is going to be mad at her, in the baseball world. Except for Positive Tommy. That's why they need to either cast me in the movie or just have Positive Tommy be a character in the movie, and then you can get Leonardo DiCaprio or Ryan Gosling or Ryan Reynolds. I'm sure all three would love to do a... Because I don't need a big part in the movie. You know, a couple scenes, that's fine. My Positive Tommy, whether it's me or Positive Tommy in the movie. So either way, I think that would be great. But that movie's coming out, I think, in May next year. But they continue to film. Juan Soto's got a cameo in it. And like I said, they're getting something, whether it's a B-roll, whether it's just Lindor hitting home runs, or Soto, obviously not there now, but whatever Soto did when they were filming that night. And obviously he did a little, I think, an interaction with Emma Stone. They hugged or whatever the case may be. But from what I, like the little that is out there about the movie, I think she is going to do something a la Steve Bartman with it. If you're unfamiliar, Bartman leaned over, Moises Alou was going to catch the ball, cost the Cubs, Marlins end up beating him, and at the time the Cubs hadn't won a World Series in a bajillion years, Marlins went on to win the World Series. So I think they're going to recreate that scene. And instead of Steve Bartman or a male lead, it's going to be Emma Stone, a female lead. You know, Frank the Tank will be mad at her, and then Positive Tommy will be obviously championing Emma Stone, saying, no biggie. That's really what I should say. Like, she caused them a World Series by leaning over and catching the ball, and then I come in and say, well, no biggie. We'll get him next year. And I think that would be a great scene in the movie. So pass that along to Emma or whoever's doing, I have no idea who's directing this or what studio is doing this, but it should be interesting. To say the least. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is a Loogie in the late night coming up this hour. By the way, did you see these uniforms for the Bills? Oh, these are the worst. Go out of your way because they're so bad. These are hideous. It's like if you had like six beers and you created a team on Madden. They are awful. And I'm not a big uniform basher normally. Like, I like the white-on-white jet uniforms. Let me think this one through here. I sort of like the idea of doing the whiteout that they are planning on doing week two, the first home game. And yes, it's more of a college thing, obviously Penn State. But I do like the idea of it. I don't know if New Yorkers will go along with it, especially if the Jets are 0-1. But I do like the idea of Because they try to do it with the Knicks, or they try to do it with playoff games, and everybody's basically like, I'm wearing my Gucci. I'm wearing the first couple rows of Madison Square Garden are going to wear basically a uniform. No shot. Now, obviously, MetLife on a Sunday at 1 o'clock in September is not Madison Square Garden on a Saturday night in January. I understand that. But not as many celebrities and, you know, high-flutin' society types. But I do like the white-on-white. I like the Bengals, Bengal Tiger one. I'm usually an alternate jersey type of guy. I am. So this is not coming from necessarily a get-off-my-lawn type of take, but they are just, these Bills uniforms are brutal. Very bad. They may want to rethink those. Perhaps they have some type of significance. I don't know. I'm not aware of. And if that's the case, then great. But if they are just alternate uniforms for the sake of alternate uniforms, then I would probably reconsider those. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But yeah, coming up this hour, a few more takes on LeBron James, a Giants trade idea, and we will get more into the Mets. But first, let's go to Sean in Old Bridge, New Jersey. He joins us. What's up, Sean?
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Good to chat with you again. So yeah, I already mentioned about the uniform thing. I'm looking at the pictures of it right now. I'm like, what the heck did they do to it?
It's so bad. And like I said, unless it has some type of meaning that I'm unaware of, a deeper meaning, it's just they're bad. They're not good. They're ugly. And like I said, I'm usually somebody that if you listen to the show, I probably don't even mention uniforms, but I don't mind going a little bit off the beaten path when it comes to alternate uniforms. I don't mind, or throwbacks, or whatever the case may be. These are bad, though. These are bad. These are like XFL uniforms they look like.
I mean, I know that, when I played Madden, I think it was the old days, if I remember, Madden 05, I would do my own teams and stuff like that.
Madden 05, those are the old days. I can't, honestly, I gotta be, Sean, I don't know the last time I played Madden. I don't know the last time I played video games. And I used to be a massive video game player, and it has nothing to do necessarily with age, because I don't think video games has anything to do with age. I think you could play video games your entire life. There's nothing wrong with that. And certainly these days, I mean, people get paid, I feel like, millions of dollars to, like, stream. All I did when I was a kid was play video games. I grew up in the wrong era, because now you could sit around in your house and play video games and get paid for it, because you just go on the internet and stream yourselves talking nonsense and playing a freaking Call of Duty.
Yeah,
I played Halo every night when I was a kid.
Oh, Halo,
great game,
was
by the
thing.
Way. The original,
yes,
Halo was, I think, a Mount Rushmore game. I would say Halo is a Mount Rushmore. Well, who? You know what? Everybody, are you? I don't know if you're a wrestling fan, Sean. Everybody loves No Mercy, the video game for N64. And it is a great game. But I still, for me, like WCW versus NWO Revenge more than No Mercy. I know No Mercy has a little bit more like ladder match, things of that nature. So it has an expanded kind of things you can do as far as in-ring. But No Mercy, for most people, is sort of the GOAT wrestling game. And it's up there as far as video games. Madden, of course. Call of Duty, of course. Halo, of course. And so on and so forth. But as far as games that I've played, those are some of my favorite. Vice City, which is Grand Theft Auto. That's a great game, too.
Ooh, wait until 6 comes out soon enough.
They're only up to 6. What are they waiting for? I felt like when I was a kid, San Andreas came out, and that was like Grand Theft Auto 3, and that was when I was in high school. What have they been doing for the last 30 years? They've only released 3 Grand Theft Auto games?
But here's the
problem.
They've released
14 Fast and the Furious movies since then. I mean, if they could do a Fast and the Furious movie every single year, how come they don't have a Grand Theft Auto video game every 10 years?
Who knows what they're doing behind the scenes?
Yeah.
And besides, they didn't even release Trailer 3 yet for GTA 6 yet.
That's amazing to me that they are, because like I said, when I was Grand Theft Auto, well, they used to have those the early Grand Theft Auto games were awful. Like, they were just terrible. And then when they kind of changed up the graphics or the gameplay or whatever it's called, they got really good, and then Vice City came out, and then San Andreas came out, and then I just kind of like fell out of video games at that point. But that was at least Grand Theft Auto 3, I think. So you're telling me since then there's only been 2 of them? 2 GTAs? Not counting Jose Alvarado? I mean, what are we talking about here? There's only 2 of these video games since then? Like I said, they pop out a Madden and every single year.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Madden cover guy curse.
Yeah, who's on the Madden cover this year? Do you know?
Caleb Williams from the Bears.
Oh, I'm sure everybody in Chicago is not happy about that. I mean, I don't know. Does the Madden curse even... I mean, it was obviously a huge thing back in the day. I would imagine not the same anymore. It doesn't... I do know Wemby is on 2K, which is a total disgrace and a total joke. I mean, Jalen Brunson should be on the cover. I mean, this idea
that's
that
what I was
on,
thinking,
of course,
too.
This is, and I was just talking to Al in the newsroom about this. It really is amazing. Now, I love it as a Knick fan because I think it's more fuel to the fire for this team. It's a chip on their shoulder. It's a group that I think thrives on this type of stuff. But the Knicks are the champions, the undisputed reigning, defending champions of basketball. And if you turn on national TV right now, it's all about LeBron. It's all about the Sixers. You buy a video game, it's Wemby on the cover. It's the only respect that Jalen Brunson gets is in this city, because when him and his wife pull up to the club, they get right in, and Michael Porter Jr. is basically waiting online with Evan, you know, trying to get in through the velvet rope.
Oh, I know. I think the thing with the Manning cover thing, curse thing, I don't think it's really cursed. Mostly if you're on the cover, you're like the highest overall player.
Yeah, and
like,
I also think they probably, those years, they probably overhyped players, and they probably put the cart before the horse with some of the guys. So it was much less not a curse, but more just, you know, guys that had a breakout year they would put on there, and they just weren't sustainable as far as players.
Yeah, like I remember, like for 05, it was Ray Lewis on the cover.
Ray Lewis was on there? I was thinking it was Vince Young. I'm trying to think when Vince Young was on the cover. I thought it was right around that time period.
Let me see. I think it was maybe 08 or 07.
08, yeah, because there was that one year, and I don't remember when it was, Sean, but there was a year, much like with Grand Theft Auto, where Madden kind of, it's like that girl that you know, you're going in through middle school or elementary school, and you're like, eh, whatever. And then one day she shows up, it's sophomore year of high school, and you're like, damn. She had a good summer. And I feel like that's what happened with Madden. Like, there was one year where it was like, all of a sudden it transformed into this awesome game. Like, the graphics got way better, the gameplay got way better, and just in one year. And then the franchise completely took off. Because I'm an OG Madden player, Sean, and I remember when Madden, the video game, stunk. It was awful. I thought NFL Blitz was a better game. It was just more fun. Like, Madden was not a good game in the early PlayStation era. But once you got to, like, PS2, Madden became a way better video game.
Yeah. I think PS2 was more of its, like, more of its era, more
yeah.
of its generation.
And then it just took off, where it's just, and it's still, like, a massively popular.
Yeah, I agree. Now, before I lose track, I got to get to my point, because I don't want to lose track. So the Yankees did beautifully, which is good. I know they limited Free, as they should, which was smart, because you don't want him to get worse, because you want to limit him as much as you can till you want, if you're Aaron Boone, stuff like that, you want to limit him from time to time, to make sure that he's fully good to go a little bit longer, which is totally understandable.
Absolutely.
Then you had Sanchez do his first ever home run.
Crazy, right? 75 games, a former Met, bounced around the league. And when they said it was his first home run, I was like, oh, of the season. And they're like, no, the first home run of his career. I was like, wow, that's good for him. I mean, that's perseverance, and that probably felt great to finally see the ball go over the fence.
Yeah, and then at least now you got to find a way to get that ball so you can put it in his trophy case.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, listen, you could tell your grandchildren that you hit a home run in the big leagues. But, you know, as far as Sanchez, when they add a catcher, I think Sanchez will be the odd man out. I think Wells will be the backup, and they'll go from there. But it's good to see that Sanchez has had a moment tonight. Even if it's a fleeting moment, it was a moment.
Yeah, that is for sure. And then this is something I kind of thought of, like, I know I'm talking about the deadline right away because I know it's almost there. So I did this thinking, maybe, let's say that they do get Mason Miller. Let's say that does happen.
Okay.
For example,
yep.
What would be the reliever that you send packing?
Duvall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly my point.
No, it's not even close. I mean, Camilo Duvall, and you saw it again tonight, and you saw it last week when they went to Will Warren in a save opportunity with Duvall in that doubleheader. Duvall stinks. He was a failed experiment. I don't blame Brian Cashman. In fact, when that move happened at the deadline, right at the buzzer, if you remember, that Duvall trade went down right as the clock struck midnight. Not literally, obviously, because the trade deadline is 5-6 o'clock. But as far as midnight in the terms of the deadline ending, Duvall was right there at the buzzer. And he had success with the Giants, so I understand he's got a live arm. I get it. Why you'd be interested in why Brian Cashman ultimately pulled the trigger on him, but Duvall's been awful, and he needs to go.
Hey,
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
He needs to go no matter what, because I think, and will go no matter what, because I do think the Yankees are going to add an arm. I just don't think it's going to be Mason Miller. But I do think, and look, the Yankee bullpen, to their credit, I mean, Paul Blackburn has been a revelation this year, and it just goes to show you kind of year in, year out with relievers, unless you are a Mason Miller, unless you are a Duran in Philly, unless you are a Edwin Diaz. The top of the line guys are great every season. But the rest, year in and year out, you just never know what you're going to get, which makes decisions like Luke Weaver an interesting one. And I've said this now for a few weeks, and I know in Sports Talk Radio, you're supposed to take a stance, take a side. Sometimes, though, I think there's a stance where both stances, I think, would make me happy. So as a Met fan, if they traded him, because I think they're going to get a big haul for him, because Weaver's going to be a big-time high-leverage guy for a lot of teams out there, and a lot of teams are going to be in the market for bullpen arms, always is the case around the deadline. So I love the fact that you're getting a haul for him. But then on the flip side, you know, he's on a good contract. I mean, he's making $11 million a year, but for his production, that's a bargain, and he's got another year on his deal. And if you get rid of Minter and Raley and a whole bunch of bullpen guys, you need pitchers that you know can handle the market, can handle now both the Yankees and the Mets, and Luke Weaver would be that. So as a fan, I either way, I'd be happy. Opinion-wise, I've gone back and forth on this. July 28th, I would say trade him. July 28th, I would say trade him. But ask me tomorrow, and then ask me the day after that. We could do a bit on the air every night where I give you what I think the Mets should do with Luke Weaver. But I like Luke Weaver a lot. Like, personally, I like him, and I also just, like, professionally like him. It's tough, because, like I said, with the relievers, they're so up and down. And Weaver's been up and down a lot in his career. So that's an interesting one. You know, I'm hearing a lot of people saying trade Clay Holmes. What, that, I'm we'll get to Lindor in a little bit, but Clay Holmes, no. Extension. Now, you could have a conversation with Clay, but based on reports, it sounds like Clay Holmes wants to stay or stick around with the Mets. To me, he makes total sense as a veteran leader in this rotation, a young rotation that you, how could you not be excited about? McLean and Scott and Thornton with another big-time start tonight against the Braves, a monster lineup. They get Acuna back. So the Braves can mash, and Thornton was excellent. And we know what the other two guys can do. Now go get Scuba in the offseason and extend Clay Holmes. Is that a rotation I can interest you in? And as far as Bichette, and you know Bichette's going to have a huge second half, you have to have a talk with him as well. But I am hopeful that Bo Bichette opts in. I'm hopeful. Number one, I think he's going to have a monster second half and a monster second year with the Mets. So if that's from the perspective of a fan. And then as far as a Sports Talk Radio host, where's Bo Bichette getting this kind of money in the offseason that the Mets are paying him? I don't think it's going to be out there for him. So I think it makes a lot of sense for Bo as well, financially. Plus, you know what? Maybe he feels like he's found a home here in New York. After spending so many years in Toronto, perhaps he doesn't want to bounce around the league. But Bichette had a big night tonight. Lindor had a big night. I think he's going to have a massive second half. We'll get into that in a little bit. But it's going to be interesting. Like, we know where the Yankees are at as far as the trade deadline. The Mets, there's definitely some knowns, but there's also some unknowns on this team. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Mohegan. Ed joins us here on After Hours. What's up, Ed?
What do you say? You know, I was going to complain about the Martian, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they do need to trade him. I mean, you know, his stats are really very similar to Austin Wells, who everybody's complaining about all season. You know, I think he's has maybe 30 more games under his belt. They still might. But, you know, before, he's not tradable. I mean, they're not going to really get much back for him now. Maybe they will because he's still young. What do you think?
I think he has been extremely underwhelming. I think Jason Dominguez has been more hype than substance. And this is really like his first opportunity to get that runway, to get that chance to perform. And he has disappointed. Like the numbers are not there. The eyeball test, he fails it. And I feel like these couple weeks here leading into the deadline was put up or shut up time for Dominguez. I'm with you. And I do think that teams would be interested in him because he's still young. He's only 23 years old, but you know,
he's a tough player. He's a tough guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
He's really.
Oh, yeah. He's battled through a lot in his early career. No doubt about it. And listen, Ed, you know what? People thought he'd be Mike Trout, and maybe he will be one day, but perhaps it's a change of scenery that is most needed for him to become that type of player or close to that. Maybe it's just not going to work out for him with the Yankees. That happens with guys. You know, he's still young, so I think you could use Dominguez to bring back a big fish because Dominguez is young,
yeah.
And he obviously has a lot of skills. He just hasn't turned those skills into production yet.
Yeah, no, it's taken too long, and if they can get somebody that they need, do it.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you something. This weekend, the women are playing this weekend. Nobody's been talking about this. Yeah, remember the Women's League from a league of their own? They're bringing them back. First time since, I think it's 1964.
Really? The Rockford Peaches?
Didn't know this?
I did not. I love a league of their own.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite
this
moves.
Is what they're doing. There's four teams.
Okay.
There's going to be New York. They actually just gave them names. We got the New York Heights.
Got it.
The Boston Hunters.
Okay.
The Los Angeles Queens. And the San Francisco Fireballs.
And where are they playing these games? I mean, obviously in those cities, but which stadiums?
No home stadium. It's all going to be in
one area?
Indiana.
Indiana?
Yeah.
Got it.
And they're going to play. They're going to do round robin for about 5 weeks. And they start this weekend, the first.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know
yeah,
that,
I mean,
and that's as you know, I'm a huge movie guy. League of Their Own is it's right there as one of my favorite sports movies of all time, and just one of my favorite movies of all time.
Let me tell you something; it really is becoming like it never used to be mentioned in the same breath as movies like The Natural,
yeah.
and Major League. But it really is. I mean, Tom Hanks, you know,
unbelievable.
Tom Hanks' character is based on I think it was Bill Dickey.
Really? I don't know
guy.
That. Avoid the clap, yeah, Jimmy Dugan. That's great advice. Yeah, Hanks is amazing in that. Madonna is always amazing. That was really the prime of Gina Davis, who I know does television, but when, you know, that was her like movie prime where, and Gina Davis, how you doing? Lori Petty, I mean, Rosie O'Donnell. I've been traded to Racine. Such a good movie. Love that movie. Me and CeeLo constantly quote that off air. I got to talk to him about that. I didn't realize that was going on. It's hard for me because even with the Savannah Bananas, which I do enjoy, I have to admit, I'm not like seeking them out on television. I'm not going to any of their games. But if I'm channel surfing and I see the Savannah Bananas, the first thing that always just amazes me, but it actually doesn't really amaze me, is the crowds that they draw. But it doesn't amaze me because sometimes, because I bet you if we polled our audience about, oh, that's crap. Well, it's okay. But sometimes we live in a bubble here, and, you know, we don't necessarily, it's not the masses. The masses like that stuff, the music, the umpires dancing, they're doing backflips. It's fun. They bring out an old-time player from the home team that's playing. It's cool. Like I said, I'm not watching it all the time. Maybe I'll catch a game or two a year. But I'll check. I don't know. I should have asked that if this is televised. I assume somewhere it's going to be televised. You're still a name. I got to go feed the fish. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie in the late night here on The Fan. The Knicks should be celebrated, applauded, glorified from now until the end of time. The 26 Knicks should be celebrated and glorified and honored from now until the end of time. Not only for their dominance, not only for their chemistry, not only for what they did for this city, but because the Knicks didn't have to sell their soul to win a championship. The Knicks didn't have to sell their soul and get in the LeBron James business. They didn't have to sell their soul and get into the Giannis business. They didn't have to sell their soul and get into the super team business. The Knicks won a championship and built their team the right way. They should be the face of the league. They should be celebrated, not just locally, but nationally. It should be Knicks, Knicks, Knicks. They, this city, this fan base, Jalen Brunson, great ambassadors for the league, great role models for the league. The Knicks did it the right way. They didn't sell their souls to the likes of LeBron James or Giannis or these super teams. And that's why the 26 Knicks, they won a championship without that garbage. They didn't have to go down that route. They didn't have to go that direction. And with everything the league is dealing with tanking and load management, here is a team that did it the right way. With teamwork, with chemistry, with the unlikeliest of superstars, and they didn't have to sell their soul to the likes of LeBron James and Giannis and all these, quite frankly, mooches that want to win a championship and are ring chasing. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get more into the Knicks and LeBron James coming up in the final segment here. Plus, I have a Giants football Giants trade idea. So if you want to hop on now, talk Mets, talk Yankees, talk football, talk Knicks, everything's on the menu, including why I believe Francisco Lindor is going to have a massive second half. So that's all coming up in the final half hour here. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is a Lugie in the late night here on The Fan.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
133 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. A big night for Francisco Lindor out at Citi Field, and I think we are right at the beginning of a massive final 2 months for Francisco Lindor in a Mets uniform. I think Francisco Lindor is going to have a huge end to the season, and I've been somebody that has been saying for weeks that the Mets should not trade Francisco Lindor. I understand that many sports fans, they always want to sort of pin blame on somebody. If the season isn't going the way they want it to go, they have to start blaming people. All right, we're going to blame this person, then we're going to blame that person, then we're going to blame this person. And for various reasons, many of which we don't get into here on After Hours, there has been a lot of hate slung Francisco Lindor's way. And he's had an unexplainable year. I can't explain it. I really can't. You know, I thought early on in the year, perhaps maybe he suffered a concussion. And this is, I think, in the Pirates series right out of the gate because he slid in the home plate and kind of banged his head, I think, like right on the ground. And it's just, he's had a weird year. An un-Francisco Lindor-like season. But to me, I never wanted to be a prisoner of the moment I never wanted to be somebody who fed into the crazy sort of wild things that are talked about as far as off the field things. And as far as on the field too, I think chemistry in baseball is overblown. I think it's overrated. It's not basketball. The Knicks proved that chemistry is so important. You have to have that cohesiveness. You have to be connected. It's exactly why I don't think the Sixers are going anywhere. You're bringing in Brown, you're bringing in LeBron, and you're going to try to fuse those guys into this starting five, and you expect overnight for the Sixers to win a championship. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. But that's basketball. Baseball, it's totally different. Juan Soto sits out in left field and essentially stares at Francisco Lindor's ass for three straight hours. It's they don't go to the plate at the same time. It is a individual sport played under a team concept. And as much as you like want to say, oh, everybody loved each other, you know, look at 24, they all loved each other, and okay, all right. There are things you can do to improve certain situations, meaning you could bring in a stronger personality manager. You can bring in other players that are veteran guys that are leaders, like a JD Martinez, like an Iglesias, like a Severino, like a Quintana, etc. But this idea that Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor need to be best buds, or they have to go out for a cappuccino after the game, and that to me is completely and utterly overblown. I just think Francisco Lindor had a weird couple of months. Obviously, an injury played a part of that, but I think you're going to get the very best of Francisco Lindor. I really do, in the month of August and September. I believe we are going to see the best of Francisco Lindor in these final 2 months. I think Francisco Lindor is going to have a massive end of the season for the Mets. He's not going anywhere, nor should he go anywhere. You saw it tonight with the two home runs. You're starting to see Francisco Lindor put it together. And I think for the final couple of months of this season, we are going to see the Francisco Lindor that we have seen throughout his entire career. And that is an elite shortstop. Power, speed, defense, leadership, all of those things are going to be front and center with Lindor. He is going to have a massive 2 months to close out the year. And he's going to do it in a Met uniform, because I don't think the Mets are trading him, nor should they. Now, I don't think Lindor is going anywhere. And he's going to remind all his critics, he's going to remind all his doubters, he's going to remind all his haters just who he is as a player in the month of August and in the month of September. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Before we get out of here, I have one more take on LeBron. It has to do with the fact that he came basically crawling to the Knicks and what their response was. And then I have a trade proposal for the football Giants. I know it is baseball trade deadline season, but there is a trade that I think the Giants could pull off here before the start of the season that would bolster their defense. I'll let you know coming up in the next 15 minutes. But first, Mario joins us from Long Beach. What's up, Mario?
Hey, what's going on, Lou? Great show, as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to talk about eggs, but I just want to chime in what you're saying about Soto and Lindor and getting along. You know, I managed people my whole life, and sometimes, I don't know if it's true, but I heard that they moved their lockers. They were together, and they moved them across the room from each other. Did you hear that?
I did not.
Okay.
What
so
do you mean
they
were
true,
their lockers were that. Near each other, and they had to move their lockers where, though? Because it's the same locker room.
No,
still.
Away, as further away from each other.
As far away as humanly possible. Well, again,
yes.
they don't have to be necessarily best buds, if that is in fact the case. They don't have to hang out on a Saturday afternoon. They don't have to hang out in the off season. I don't think every clubhouse, everybody is the best of friends. But I think you can coexist, you can respect each other on a professional level, and you can be pillars of a championship.
But my point is, sometimes I saw personalities that I tried to do it in banking too. Two people just don't get along. You have to get them separated away.
Right,
from
but I don't think it's okay. So remember the
that's possible. That's not. It's not that. That's just not possible.
But remember,
you know,
the Lindor McNeil stuff and the rat and the raccoon and the squirrel, and there was speculation that they got into essentially a fist fight, and Jeff McNeil even sort of intimated that that wasn't the first time they got into that type of fight. We have heard nothing like that. So when it comes to Soto Lindor, so all we heard is one guy likes fashion and the other guy likes baseball more, and perhaps they needed to be separated as far as their lockers not being close together. I mean, that sounds more like high school than it sounds like that they're going to punch each other in the face and they can't coexist. I think it's a lot of overblown type of stuff. Now, I'm not in the locker room. I don't know this for sure, but we haven't heard anything from that point where it's gotten to like fisticuffs or something that is just, you know, that you can't mend the fence.
Right. My last question for you, and thank you for taking my call, mm-hmm. is now with Lindor playing good at the end of the season, where do you see the Mets ending up when the season's over?
You mean how do I think they're going to play in the final 2 months? I think they're going to have a strong 2 months.
How are they going to end?
They're going to have a strong 2 months.
All right. Where are they going to end at?
What do you mean? Where they're
17 games on the 500 right
now. What do you want me to give? You want to give a record?
Yeah, a record. What's their number? Are they going to be? Is it still going to be under 500?
How many games do they have exactly left? Do we know the exact number?
I don't know. I didn't look at it. Off the head.
I think they're going to play. Maybe? Are they going to play well over 500 baseball? I think they're going to. I think you're going to see a lot of young players come up here. I think they're going to continue to gel. Soto will be back in September. I told you Lindor is going to have a massive second half. Whether it's Scott, whether it's Thornton, whether it's McLean, they're going to give you strong performances. And the bullpen, which has been good. Now, we'll see what is left in a week. But, yeah, I think the Mets are, and now they have a very difficult schedule, so I will put that in there. But I think they're going to play baseball that you could be proud of in the final 2 months here.
Well, they're still going to end under 500, though, right? If there's 17 games.
Well, I feel like, Mario, you're trying to get positive Tommy to either wave a white flag or to besmirch the team. That's where I feel like you're going.
No, be honest.
Well, I gave you the answer. I gave you the answer. I don't know what more I got to do.
Yeah, you were ambiguous.
No, I was. I said they would play over 500. What more of a number do you want?
How much over 500? A couple of one game, two games, 10 games?
No, all right, there'll be 10 games over 500.
Okay, but that'd be good. You know?
Yeah, I think they're going to play well, even with the schedule. I said they're going to play over 500. Positive Tommy is never ambiguous. I gave you the number there. But I want to see how many games they have left. It's probably around like 60 or something like that. But it's a good test because the schedule is tough. I think it's the hardest schedule in baseball in the final 2 months. But I like the fight that they've shown in the last week concerning the competition. I don't think they're playing the game tonight, that's for sure, with the rain here. But I expect good baseball from the Mets in the final 2 months. 888-808-1019. Is the phone number to call. So there's a report out there that LeBron James and his camp sort of came to the Knicks as far as, hey, we're interested in coming to your team. And the Knicks essentially said, no, thank you. We live in a glorious world where the Knicks now can tell LeBron James, who comes crawling to the Knicks, they can tell LeBron, no thanks. They could tell LeBron James, we're not interested. They could tell LeBron James, take your talents elsewhere. The same LeBron James who thumbed his nose at this organization, the same LeBron James who could have helped this team all those years back, who could have brought his talents to the Knicks, who could have brought a championship to the Knicks, who could have brought relevancy to the Knicks all those years ago. But instead, he took the easy route. He went to Miami. He joined essentially the first super team and basically, in many ways, ruined a lot of what we loved about the NBA because it created this, well, this star's going here and he's going to be followed by this star. That was LeBron who started all that. And now, later in his career, when he's chasing a ring because he wants to be better than Michael Jordan and he wants to change people's opinion on the GOAT conversation, he wanted to join the Knicks bandwagon. But this isn't the old days. The Knicks now run the NBA. They are the gold standard. And it is a glorious world that we live in because now the Knicks are in a position where they could tell LeBron James, no thanks. And good for them. Because the Knicks don't need LeBron James. They don't need to get in the LeBron James business. They don't have to sell their soul to LeBron James to bring him in to try to win a championship. Because they won a championship the right way. And they will win another championship with this group the right way. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So the baseball trade deadline is coming up here in less than a week. And obviously a lot of people are going to be on the move. You're going to hear a ton of names, and it is a very exciting week. And if last year's any indication, where it was, I think, the most trades in the history of the trade deadline, including the Yankees being the most active team at the deadline, and I expect them to be very active again. And I think that's a great thing for baseball. I do. Because one thing about, you know, one thing you can say about the NFL is they know how to market their sport. And I'm about to get into the NFL here in just 1 second, but the NFL is always on our mind. It's always on the tip of our tongue. The excitement, the not just for the games. We know about Sundays. We know about Monday nights. We know about Thursday nights. We know about Friday nights, soon to be Wednesday nights, although they are playing a game on Wednesday night this year. Yeah, so soon to be. The only night they don't have covered at this point is Tuesday, which I'm sure they'll figure out some way, somehow, to put a game on Tuesday night. But not just the games. Not just the fantasy football, not just the gambling, not just the tailgating, not just football that we all love, but it's the schedule release, it's the draft, it's the combine, it's free agency, it's OTAs, it's minicamp, it's all this stuff that makes the NFL king because they know how to market their sport. And one thing I'm always critical about with baseball is they release their schedule during the season. I understand it's during the All-Star break, but people need a break from baseball during the All-Star break. They don't need more baseball. They need a break. It's a long season. Baseball waits forever to announce who won the MVP. So by that point, nobody cares. Where the football, they honor Super Bowl weekend. Football has it down to a science, and baseball could learn a thing or two from them. But I think with the pitch clock, great. I think the expanded postseason, great. The sort of robot umps challenge system, great. Heck, I even like the swing off. And I think the baseball should utilize that in the regular season, like the 13th to 14th inning. But one thing I loved about the trade deadline last year was there was a lot of activity. That's what you want. You don't want a boring, benign, nothing happening trade deadline where it's all sizzle and no steak. Well, last year you got a lot of steak, and I think you're going to get a lot of steak again this year. But what I have for you right now is not a baseball trade. It is a football trade, and it is the Fan Focus, which is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. I have giant expectations this year. I think the Giants are a ready-to-win-now team with the addition of Harbaugh and certainly the progression of Dart. And it sounds like Malik Nabers could be ready to go by, if not week one, earlier in the season than some of us were anticipating. Scadaboo should be ready to go for week one. This defense has improved in the linebacking core. We know about the defensive line as far as the pass rush. The thing that you worry about with the Giants is something that has plagued them for quite some time, and that is stopping the run. And obviously the departure of Dexter Lawrence, and I know the Giants brought in some big bodies here. They brought in Reader, and they beefed up the middle of their line, but I still think there's work to be done there on defense. And if you said, hey, is there one thing that scares you when it comes to, and obviously injuries, but is there something that scares you about the Giants this year? And it is, yeah, it's stopping the run, because they haven't proven to me that they have the ability to do so. And that was with Dexter Lawrence. They couldn't stop the run at all. And if you can't stop the run, it's going to put you at a disadvantage. And the only way to counter that is to run the ball a lot yourself, clock control, and keep your defense as much off the field as humanly possible. That leads me to this. So Vita Vea is having a contract issue with the Bucs, and reportedly he is now seeking a trade. And I know he's getting a little bit up there in age. He's in his 30s. But I think this is something that Harbaugh and the Giants should take a long look at. I really do. You could add a massive body to the interior part of your defensive line. The Giants need those type of bodies. They need the ability to stop the run. Vita Vea is one of the best as far as at his position of his generation. And I think that would be a huge addition, not only to the D-line, but also to the locker room. And that's something that if I was Harbaugh, I would be looking at. Because to me, the Giants are a playoff team. That's my expectations. I think that should be the goal. This shouldn't be looked at as a rebuilding year. This should be looked at as the first of many trips to the playoffs. You still have a weakness on defense. It's stopping the run. You still need big bodies on the D-line. And I think this would be, for the Giants, a great pickup, a great addition, and it's something that they should do, and at the very least, they should take a long look at. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. So just a quick little programming note. Yankees again in Chicago here. They got the White Sox series, then they have the Cubs series. So I will follow the game again tomorrow night or later on tonight. Now, there was a slight delay, 20 minutes maybe, in the game tonight as far for rain, and it poured in Chicago apparently. But the weather looks good for Tuesday and for Wednesday, so I would imagine the games will start on time, 7:40, which means I should be on around 11 or 11:30. So tonight was a shorter version of After Hours, but we should have a normal version of After Hours coming up Tuesday and Wednesday night. And then on Thursday night, shorter show because we are doing a Giants training camp at 10 o'clock, 10 to 12. So I'll only have you from 7 to 10. And a little birdie told me that Connor Green will actually be back to work. Because really, you know, when I think about bonuses at the end of the year, I mean, the only guy that's earned it at this point is Fliegelman, because he's the only guy I see. I mean, Rosenberg basically will give me a snarky text or a snarky comment every time I see him, which doesn't earn you any kind of money. And then Connor Green is basically hasn't worked there in 2 months. But I'm being told by my schedule people that Connor Green will actually be rejoining After Hours on Thursday night. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Now, the Yankees, they have the pitching matchup in this series against the White Sox. They have the talent advantage, even with their roster being what it is. The White Sox are ahead of schedule. It says a lot about them that they are even in first place. I think ultimately they're going to let go of the rope and not win the division. The Yankees have owned them this year. They've owned the Central. Like, you can combine the American League Central, and that team still wouldn't beat the Yankees. They still wouldn't beat them. And that's why a team like the Red Sox, they scare you, because the Central, pushovers, doormats, non-issues, non-threats. The American League West is an absolute... I mean, the Seattle Mariners, just pack it in. Just give up. I mean, really, seriously. The fact that the Mariners are not running away with their division is a total joke. Tampa's good. They're not great. Boston's obviously on a great run here. But teams like Boston, you want to keep out of October. And they should be buyers here in this week. And they already had made a move. They're looking for a big-time shortstop as well. So we'll keep our boots to the ground, our ears to the ground, and our eyeballs forward as the trade deadline approaches on Monday. All right, that'll do it for me. My thanks to Fliegelman. My thanks to the listeners. My thanks to the callers. Al Cintron comes your way next. And then I'll have you later on this evening after Yankee postgame, right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York. Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.